Good morning, His Tabernacle. Come on, you can do a lot better than that. Good morning, His Tabernacle. Who is ready to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Come on, if that's you, stand up to your feet. Very quickly, turn to the person next to you and say, hey, good morning. I'm so glad you braved the half inch of snow to come to the house of the Lord. I'm happy you're here, and I pray you receive everything God has for you. Come on, let's lift up our hands. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we come ready. We come expectant. Father, we believe that your anointing is already in this place. Holy Spirit, begin to move, begin to saturate, begin to put a deposit into our lives. Father, with our hands lifted up, we surrender everything about us before we walk into this place. And God, we're ready to receive from you, God. Pour out your Spirit, pour out your anointing. Father, have your way as we worship and as we praise. If you believe that, shout amen.
All right, I need one more good shout for Jesus, okay?
Forever and ever, you say the same.
Goes to you, all of the glory goes to you, Jesus.
Just repeat after me. Say, the victory belongs to you, Jesus. Come on, let's say it with victory. Victory belongs to you, Jesus. It doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to my talent. It doesn't belong to what I think I've done. It belongs to Jesus. He's the one with the ultimate plan. He's the one that set it up. He's the one that went to the grave. He's the one that made the sacrifice. He's the one that rose from the grave. Thank you, Jesus. All of the victory belongs to you.
Victory belongs to Jesus.
dance and say,
victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. Oh, 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 oh.
We declare
victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. Oh, 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 oh. Victory belongs to Jesus.
room this morning. Jesus is with us this morning. With every hand lifted, every hand in this room lifted up high. An anointing in this room this morning that can break every yoke of bondage. The power of God is so thick in this room this morning. If you are not receiving it, I dare you to raise your hands up this morning. I dare you to put your hands up to a king that is above all kings. I dare you. Putting your hands up is a sign of surrender. It's a sign that you want to receive from Him. This morning we raise and lift our hands up to You, God, because we want more of You. We need more of You in our lives. And Lord, I know You're here with us today. Something you've never felt before. Some of you are experiencing something you've never experienced before, and that is the presence of the Most High God, the one that knows you better than know yourself, the one that loves you more than anybody else in this world. Us, Lord God. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can't tell you what I'm experiencing, but I'm telling you, there's something happening in this room. There's something happening in this room. You need to understand, my body is, I'm trembling right now because the power of God is so intense in this room this morning. And all you've got to do is raise your hands up. All you've got to do is say, I want You, Lord. That's all you've got to do today. That's all you've got to do. It's that simple. It's that easy. You say, Jesus, I want more of You. I need more of You in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Jesus, release Your power right now. Right now, release that anointing in Jesus' name. Right now, Father God, release Your presence in this room, Lord God, like never before, like never ever has ever been seen by these people before, God, in the name of Jesus. Right now, Father God, right now, bondages are broken in Jesus' name. Right now, addictions are broken in Jesus' name. Right now, bodies are healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. This morning as I was in prayer, early this morning I saw something in my prayer time and devotion with Him, and I want to explain it to you because I just cannot, it's still there. I want everybody to close your eyes, and I'm gonna give you a picture. Take an outlet, something you would plug in a light, plug in a vacuum. You take that outlet, what you would plug in, and you magnify it. You look at that outlet, you look at the end of the cord, and you see how big it is, and you magnify it. That right now is what God is doing in the church. That right now is what God is doing in your lives. He's magnifying your connections. He's magnifying how you can plug into the source. And what I believe that He's saying through that is the fact that you, it's a magnification, because He knows there's a power and there's a source that once you plug in, you will be amazed and see how easy it is to to begin to grow in Him and see how easy it is. You got to understand, church, that today we're living in a day that He wants us to plug in. And that magnification, take advantage. Don't miss the window. Don't miss the moment. Don't miss the moment to connect with Him. Father, today, as Your word is spoken, Holy Ghost, I'm praying, Father, for heavy conviction. I'm praying, Jesus, that, Father God, we don't leave the same way we came in. That, Lord, as we go throughout our week, God, that we're so pumped up in You, Lord God, that, Father, even moving into tomorrow, into Tuesday, Father, that anointing will continue on throughout the week. That, Lord God, we're so empowered, so built up, that, Father, we've got to talk to people about You, Christ. Amen. Isn't God good this morning? Does anybody feel the presence of God? He's good, isn't He? He's a good Father. Amen. Listen, family, on your way back to your chairs, those of you who don't sit down, get out, meet one person. Just go meet one person that you don't know. This is where you can get uncomfortable, but this is where we become family. Go introduce yourself to somebody you don't know. And listen, if I don't see people moving, I'll call you out.
There are some things in life you just can't do alone, like running a worship set, getting a root canal, getting stuck in traffic.
Seriously? Come on!
Starting a flash mob. Trust fall.
One, two.
Join a group today. Go to histabernacle.com/groups.
So how many spots do we have left over? Seriously? Can you be serious just for once?
What are you talking about?
Hey guys, we still have a couple spots available for the Marriage Encounter April 12th to the 14th. If you have yet to sign up, please see us or go to the hub to sign up.
Hey family, it is next Sunday. We have our next water baptism. We're going to be doing it for both 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. services.
You are so white.
Man, what's his problem? Listen, you can go sign up at the hub, in the foyer, or go online, histabernacle.com/baptism. Listen, our next outreach Saturday is coming up March 3rd at 12 p.m. right here at the church in classroom number one. Listen, you don't always need a pulpit to share the gospel. So we want to make sure that you have the opportunity to come learn how you can share the gospel wherever you are in whatever situation you're in. So come out again, March 3rd, 12 p.m. right here at the church. See you there.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How's everybody doing this morning? We want to welcome you to our 9 a.m. service. Who is happy to be in the house of the Lord? Come on. Put your hands together for the King of Kings and for the Lord of Lords. Amen. We want to welcome our guests. If this is your first time here, can I just see your hand just slip up really awkwardly and slowly? But let me just see it. Awesome. Come on, put your hands together for our first-time guests. If you can keep your hand up, we have a gift for you guys. Come on, keep on clapping, keep on clapping. Let's make it feel like family. Awesome. We have one in the back right over there. Thank you so much for coming out to visit us at our 9 a.m. service. Inside that bag, you'll find just some gifts from us. And then also after service, on this side of the building, we have a guest reception for you. We have some coffee. We have some other snacks that are good for us. And then we'll be able to visit some of our staff and some of our pastors. Amen. So thank you so much for coming out. If you're watching on live stream, we want to welcome you as well. Get off our live stream campus. We are incredibly excited you can join us this morning. You were engaged in worship. Now we're going to be getting ready for the word very soon. But just a few follow-up announcements. Who enjoyed that group's video commercial? That was funny, right? They wanted me to do the trust fall, and I said no. And you guys can see why, because it is not okay to do some things by yourself. Amen? And that's why we have our launch of our home groups. It is exciting. It's going to be so much fun. You're going to be having people coming up to you this week saying, come join my group. And guess what? You need to join. They are fun. They are exciting. And we want to live life with you. So do not be weirded out or be scared when somebody comes and says, hey, join my group. It's going to be awesome. All right? So as Pastor did last week, we have a program that was passed out. If you would like one, just let us know afterwards. It has a list of all the groups, the days that they meet. If there are kids there, if there are pets there, it is very, very easy for you to follow. But we want to live life with you. Amen. So make sure that you sign up for a group. You can go to groups at histabernacle.com to get signed up. As well, we have the Empowered Leadership Summit coming up. Come on, you can make some noise for that. That's okay. That's going to be March 19th through the 21st. This is Pastor Spencer's annual leadership summit. But Pastor doesn't just believe in investing in pastors. He believes in investing in you as well. We have the top tier leaders across the country coming to train us. Pastor Larry Stockstill and our own bishop, Bishop Rick Thomas. So you do not want to miss that. This is not just for pastors. This is for people in the church, people outside the church. If you work, if you don't work, if you have kids, if you don't, this conference is for you. So take some time, go to empoweringpastors.com and get signed up. If you have any questions, just come and find me. Amen. All right, let's have Pastor Cody with the offering.
Has anybody ever stepped on a Lego in the dark? It is like a real test of your Christianity. It really is. You about cuss every time. But it's wild because that generally happens when you're like in the middle of the night, you climb out of bed and you're walking in the dark to use the restroom or to drink out of the milk carton. And it's awful. But I love Psalms 119. It's one of the most amazing chapters in the entire Bible. And verse 105 is really cool because it literally says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And I was thinking about how cool that statement is your word literally opens up and directs where I'm walking. So I don't have to step on a Lego. I don't have to make a mistake. I don't have to make a misstep if I'm walking in the word of God. But on the very flip side, if I'm not walking in the Word of God, then I have to be walking in the darkness. And we all know when you walk in the darkness, it might be a Lego. It might be the corner of the bed, just almost as worse. It might be a trailer hitch. But whatever it is, it's painful. It hurts. We don't enjoy it. And we know the answer is to simply walk in the light, to walk in the Word of God. But oftentimes we see these things come up. We see these things happen. And Numbers chapter 13 is such another powerful illustration of walking in God's promises and God's command. We know the children of Israel in Numbers chapter 13 were about to walk into the promised land. And they sent 12 spies, right, into the promised land. And they checked it out. And it said that two men had to carry the grapes, that the vines were so big. And there was milk and there was honey. But there was giants, but they were from descendants that had never been defeated before, and they had these issues, and 10 of them came back with a negative report. 10 of them came back with a report of fear and of doubt and of opinion, and 2 came back saying, no, if God promised it for us, it's truly ours. We can take it. There's no reason we can't have what God has spoken and what God has promised. And as the body of Christ, I see almost the same report when it comes back monetarily. Where it can be fear, so it can cause fear, it can cause doubt, it can cause our opinions to rise up or the opinions of others. And unfortunately, a lot of the body of Christ, not just our church, but a lot of the body of Christ, is walking like the 10 who came back with a negative report of, it's too much, I couldn't do it, I couldn't get there, I couldn't be there. And what happened, because those 10 brought back the negative report, is they had to live in the desert. They had to walk around the desert. They had to wander in the desert for 40 years, walking inside of the darkness, maybe stepping on those Legos because it's painful and it's not fun. Can I tell you, there's an amazing way that we don't have to walk in the darkness, that's to walk in the Word of God. And if we can walk in the Word of God as the body of Christ, remember Dr. John Avanzini said that we collectively can live under an open heaven. And I want to live under an open heaven. I don't want to live in fear and in doubt. Those things cannot outweigh the truth and authority of Jesus Christ. If fear and doubt outweigh the authority of the Word of God in our lives, then we'll wander. We'll step on Legos. We'll walk into the trailer hitch. It will be painful. If fear, doubt, and opinion outweigh the authority of God, then we'll never have the access to the things of God. And I see a lot of the body of Christ, they walk around and they step on Legos and they get mad at God. But we're the ones walking in the darkness when God says, I have a lamp for your feet and I have a light to your path. And look, according to finances and the Word of God, that we as believers are to tithe, which is simply 10%. And I know that can be fear, that can cause fear, and I know it can bring up doubts, and I know that opinions can rise up, but if those things outweigh the truth and authority of God, then we'll never have access to the promises of God. And I want to access everything that God has for me. Does anybody else in this place want to access what God has for them in the fullness of what he has for them? Look, it's simply found in obedience. Does anybody want to wander in the desert for 40 years? Would anybody love to step on a Lego? One with an extra sharp edge? Like a new one? Anybody want to walk into a trailer hitch? No. So I just want to encourage you, let's walk in the promises of God. Remember, even as we say together in Deuteronomy chapter 28, if I obey, I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. There's that operative word of if I obey. So I want to encourage you this morning. Maybe you've never tithed. Maybe you've done it sometimes and you're out sometimes. It depends how the money looks in the bank. Look, if we're walking what God has promised, it's never what it looks like, because we can't reason with supernatural. We can't look naturally at what God has spoken supernaturally for us to do. We'll always talk ourselves out of it. So today, as you prepare your offering, I want to encourage you, if you obey, you will be blessed going in. You will be blessed going out. You will be blessed in your storehouse. You will be blessed in your basket. The blessings will chase you down. They will trip you up, because when you obey, you're a child of God. So with your offerings prepared, can we go ahead and stand up in this place? And I want you to really mean it. I really want this to flow out of your belly. And especially if today you're saying, I haven't been tithing, I haven't been sowing. If that's you today, you're saying, you know what, today is my day. I'm not going to step on the Legos. I'm going to walk in the light. I'm going to be obedient to the word of God. If that's you today, I want this to especially ring out of your belly. But let's say this together. Let's declare this over our lives together from the back to the front. You ready? If I obey,
if I obey.
Now come on, the teenagers do it better. If I obey,
if I obey.
I'm blessed going in. A little bit louder.
I'm blessed going out.
I'm blessed in my storehouse. I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings are going to chase me down. They're going to trip me up. Why? You didn't convince me yet. Why?
I'm a child of God.
Why are you a child of God? Because I obey the word of God. Let's go ahead and give our tithes and offerings. You can text to give. You can go ahead and put it in the offering. However it is, I want to encourage you to engage the word of God this morning. Watching me alive,
shout it
out at the top of the screen. If you exit full
screen,
you go ahead and click through that link, and you'll have an option to partner with the ministry here. If you are ministered by the word every week, we're going to encourage you to sow into the word of God and into the house of God. Thank you so much that you watch. Thank you also for your investment in the kingdom of heaven.
Shout it out and Jesus, we make your praise
real quick. I love the body of Christ. The body of Christ is absolutely amazing. It's the hope of the world. So Pastor Obi was just talking about empowering pastors, right? I want you to realize how much of a magnitude you have in the body of Christ. We've been doing empowering pastors, what, 3 or 4 years now? How many years, anybody know? Pastor Obi's fourth year. We're going on our fourth year of having pastors from all over the Northeast come in to be ministered to at this house because of this body. And it's crazy. I believe we've seen almost 10 pastors. Literally, their report back was, I was going to quit the ministry. I wasn't going to serve in the kingdom anymore because I was discouraged, I was disappointed, and I felt like I was at the end of my rope. What's so cool is because of what we can do as a body, because of what God has placed in our senior pastor's heart, we've seen 10 congregations remain intact with an amazing pastor. We've seen, like, seriously, put your hands together because that's amazing. That's phenomenal. That's probably a minimum of 500 people that are still being ministered to. It's crazy, too, to think not just those men that might have stepped down, but also the ministry to their wives, which Pastor Rhonda does when they're here. They get dialed up, they get prettied up, they get loved on because they're so needed in the body of Christ. I mean, not them. How about the pastors that came through and were a little bit dry and said, you know what, a shot in the arm. And we've seen some amazing things happen because of this body sowing into other ministries. And I believe what we've seen, what we've made happen for others, God will make happen for us. What we can do for others, God will make happen for us. So this morning, Pastor Spencer has asked to put out for anybody in the congregation that would like to sow, which is above our tithes and our offerings, into Empowering Pastors Conference, so we can see the ministry grow, we can see the kingdom grow, we can see the body of Christ go to a new place and to a new level. So if you're in this place today and you're saying, you know what, I want to sow into these pastors, I don't care if it's $5, I don't care if you pay the whole thing off, whatever the Lord places on your heart, we just ask for obedience. Your pastoral staff, we strive for obedience to the Word of God and the direction of the Holy Spirit. And we ask the same for the congregation. So if that's you, you're saying, you know what? I want to sow into this conference. I want to sow into the kingdom of heaven. I want to sow into these pastors being shifted and changed. I want to sow into the kingdom growing. If that's you, just go ahead and slip your hand into the air. We have some ushers that are walking around, passing out envelopes. We want to make sure you have the opportunity. I'm just playing. We want to make sure you have the opportunity to make this happen for somebody else. So in time, it'll happen also for us. We're going to have an offering bucket placed back up here in the middle. And coming, I promise. So as you go ahead and prepare that seed, we want to thank you. Let's pray real quick, and then we'll be able to come up. Father, we thank you for the mighty plans you have for Empowering Pastors Conference. We thank you, Lord, that ministries will grow, that discouragement will be absolutely disbanded in people's lives, that we'll see the kingdom of heaven go to new places and new levels. We'll see communities turned upside down for your glory. We will see an absolute revival in the Northeast because of what you're doing and the word that you're going to release even this year at conference. So, Father, anybody that sows, we thank you that you're going to bless them abundantly above all they could ask, think, or imagine. We thank you that they're sowing into good ground. In the mighty name of Jesus, you agree with it. Can I hear a collective amen? Yeah. Amen. We have a basket right in the front. You can go ahead and bring your offering. Thank you so much. Amen.
Make it loud and Jesus, we shout your name. give him praise. Come on and give him praise. Come on, come on, come on. I know you have more praise in you than that. Go ahead and stand up. The Spirit of the Lord is in this place. Come on, come on, come on, come on. You're not giving man praise. You're giving God praise. Thank God he got you to the weak. Thank God he healed you, woke you up this morning, started you on your way, breathed this breath of life in you. Your heart is beating. Your lungs are intact. Come on and give him praise. Come on. You can sense the Spirit of the living God in this place. In this place. Come on and give him praise. This isn't about emotion. This is about experience. This isn't about religion. This is about relationship. And he deserves your praise. He deserves your praise. Look at your neighbor on the left and right and say, he deserves your praise. Amen. You may be just seated in this place. Greetings and blessings to you, precious people of God. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And so we're so excited that you're here, and we just want to thank God for this opportunity to be with you. It's really a choice of will. You heard from everyone who's ministered so far. It's a choice of will to be saved. It's a choice of will to be delivered. It's a choice of will to be healed. So thank you for making the choice to come here this morning. Amen. Because you're not going to leave here the same way. Look at your neighbor on the left and the right and say, you're not going to leave here the same way. You're not going to be the same. Look at both of them. Say, you're not going to be the same. God is going to change you, rearrange you, and bless you because, you know, God is greater than a feeling. Amen. How many people know that? Now, we have experiences that come against us, but those experiences don't determine our destiny. So today we're going to talk about divine connections in God versus just a bad hookup. Look at your neighbor on the left and the right. Say, divine connections versus a bad hookup. Amen? And people are laughing, so you must know. You must somewhere know. Today, God has called you forth to be here. It's not an accident or incident. You could be anywhere. You could be anywhere in the southern tier. You could be anywhere in the world. But he has called you this morning to deliver you, to encourage you, to challenge you, to inspire you, and also to give him praise. Amen. You can give him praise. See, I can sense it. I can sense it here in the atmosphere. It's really an honor and privilege to be with you today and also to be in this capacity. I want to thank God for my senior pastors, Dr. Michael Spencer and Pastor Rhonda Spencer. We give God the praise and glory for them. It is such an honor to be able to be here because they live in front of us as godly examples of the kingdom. They show us how to live kingdom living, and they show us how to do that every day. So we give God all the praise and glory for them. So I know you got more in you, HT, in terms of appreciation for them. They are divine connections. Amen. Amen. Now, it's also a blessing to minister with each other. I'm so blessed by all the pastoral team and the ministry team and my His Tabernacle intercessors. If it were not for the people who pray for me, thank God for you, and they pray for you too. Amen? Amen. So we're really thankful, very thankful for what God has brought to us. But you know the one that I'm most thankful for today? I'm thankful for my Father God. I'm thankful for Son Jesus. I'm thankful for Holy Spirit. I'm thankful that today we get to plug into the divine connection because, you know, he's Alpha and he's Omega. He is beginning and the end. He's going to have the first word on your life, and he will have the last word. Amen? See, it doesn't really matter what the doctors say. God bless. We have some doctors here. We honor their medical doctors and nurses, their medical abilities and their experiences. But see, he's the great physician, and today we come to him. Today, it's no finer honor than to have the experience every day of being awakened by him. See, I know you had an alarm clock, and some of you had your phones, but do you know that heaven woke you up this morning? Amen. Do you know that heaven breathed the breath of life in you? You couldn't even think and will yourself to breathe. Amen. You could not convince yourself. How many of you have the power, and I really want to hang out with you if you do, but you had the power where you commanded your heart to pump. Anybody out there? I just say, I need to meet up. I want to hook up with you. I want to be in your group. Anybody have the ability to command your blood to flow through your veins? Anybody? I want to be in your connection group. Amen? So we serve a God, a living God who is the divine connection, and he breathed his breath of life into you today. I am so glad that he did. He gave us a chance to see another day because this is the day. Say it to your neighbor on the left and the right. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It's often a determination of will. Amen? It's not always easy. It wasn't easy to get up this morning and brush the car off in the snow when some of you were anxious and probably didn't even sleep because you were worrying about the snow that might happen today. Amen? But God is so faithful. And so some of you have had some challenges this week. As I was praying for you and fasting for you, I could sense it. Some people are even here this morning. You pressed your way. How many people pressed your way to get here today? You had to push through some things, not just the snow. There were some things maybe going on in your mind, going on in your emotions, some situations and circumstances. But it's not an accident that you're here today. It is not a mistake that you're here today. Look at your neighbor on the left, say, it's not an accident. Be nice, wives. Look at your husbands and be nice. It's not an accident that you're here today. This is not about karma, okay? This is not about karma or serendipity. This is not about drama. This is the plan of the will of God that you would be here. Because when you think about these attitudes and these thoughts where we think we're a mistake and we are overcome by spirits of depression, anybody had that experience before? And we are overcome by situations and circumstances in life. Some of you have had multiple deaths in your families and things that have come against your life. But these are all perspectives. They're ideas. They are constructs. They are popular culture, and they're not the truth of the word of God. Amen? Amen. We can have a diagnosis from the doctor that says we're suffering with cancer, but see, the doctor gives diagnosis, but God in his word gives the prognosis. Amen. Are you here with me today? Amen. So again, you know, some of these ideas and these attitudes and these beliefs are really threatening our very existence. And it really is an attack against us as members of the body of Christ and those who have a divine connection in God. If you're not saved, then this divine connection thing is difficult. So we're going to have Minister Mindy at the end. She's going to be available to minister to you with salvation so you'll be able to grab a hold of this thing that we're talking about called the divine connections. But today I come to you under the jurisdiction and the authority of God, under the power of the Holy Spirit, under the anointing of Jesus. And I come to you with the trust and the assignment of our senior pastors because God has called me forth today to do what we call subliminal deliverance. There's some things you need to be set free. You know, we keep talking about this divine connection and you're like, wait a minute, that's not my experience. I keep just living out all these things that are really not the will and plan of God. So today, you have an opportunity because God has called us forth to be able to talk with you. The goal, the end of this sermon, for those of you who like to take notes and you want to know what's going to happen at the end, because you know how I am. I decide if I'm going to read a book. I read the first chapter and the last chapter. And then I decide if I'm going to read the stuff in the middle. Amen? So let me give you the last chapter so you can have that satisfied in you. And so the last chapter, the goal of this is that your mind, say your mind, my will, my emotions, they would be renewed, they would be healed, and they would be made whole. Amen. Come on and give him praise. That's the purpose of today. That's the end of this meeting, the end of this discussion. See, there is a spiritual strategic moment that's occurring right now in God. There's an intersection that's occurring. Say intersection. You can make some signs with your hands. This is going to be demonstrative, but not mean signs with your hands. It got to be holy signs, okay? Use your fingers for good purpose here. But this is an intersection that's occurring right now. You've heard us pray and decree and declare a mega shift, new season, you know, new surrender that's occurring. But what's happening right now in the spirit realm, this intersection is occurring right now. And so what God wants to do is to clear your mind of believing in fantasy, believing in fatality, believing in bad luck, amen, and start instead to believe in faith. Say faith to your neighbor. Faith. The word of God. Believe in the life that Jesus died for me to have. Go, you can say it. Believe in the life that Jesus, come on, you can say it, come on. You got more than fifth graders here. And the pursuit of purpose and destiny. Amen. Say the pursuit of purpose and destiny. I'm going to go after it. I'm going to move forward. So this is an intersection between divine connection and a bad hookup. Amen. You have the power and the authority to choose whether you live a life or a season of divine connection or bad hookup. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. God, we thank you that you've called us for this time. Lord, there is nothing that is greater than this moment that we're experiencing right now. It's not an accident or an incident that we're here. So we thank you for the blood covering of your son, Jesus. We thank you for the outpouring of your spirit, because where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We thank you, God, that every person who is under the sound of my voice, because it's your spirit that is speaking through me. And so we decree and declare in this moment, and we will begin to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we will no longer be cooked up and tied up with bad connections and bad relationships. Father, we cancel every assignment of the enemy. We cancel every subliminal spirit that's come against our minds and our wills and our emotions and our money and our relationships, God. We thank you for this strategic moment where we will not walk out of here the same, but we will be set free, and set free in Jesus' name. Come on and give him praise and glory this morning. Okay. What's this year, his tabernacle? And I know some of the visitors may not know, but what's this? This is a year of what? Ooh, you are smarter than fifth graders. I'm so excited. Ooh, divine connection. And so I want to give you a scripture today as we begin our spiritual framework and definition here. Look at Proverbs 16, 1 through 7. And I'm just going to paraphrase that scripture for you, but you may want to look at it later and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you, because you want this word to get down in your spirit. See, when you read the word of God or listen to the word of God, it helps renew your mind. There's scientific research that's been shown that actually your brain stems get rebuilt when you're reading the word of God. Amen? So when God says renew, get your mind renewed, there's really scientific evidence now. I love that. So Proverbs 16, 1 through 7, and I'm reading out of the Voice. It says, people go about making their plans. And we all have plans. We have an agenda. Some of us have plans to beat the Baptist at a buffet. But regardless of your plans, people go about making their plans, but the eternal has the final word. Say the final word. God has the final word. Even when you think that you have good intentions, it says he knows your real motives. God knows your heart. Amen. And whatever you do, do it as a service unto him. He will guarantee your success. You want to have guaranteed success in life, guaranteed success in ministry, guaranteed success in your whole environment with your families, then what you need to do is do it as a service unto God. Amen? It says in verse 4b, even wrongdoers fit his plans. Troubled times await them. You don't have to worry about getting people back. Pastor Rhonda has taught us through the No More Hurts ministry that we need to release those old hurts. Let the past be the past. We need to let go of those situations and circumstances, because God, he's an avenger. He is an awesome avenger. He will take care of that circumstance. So he abhors people who are arrogant. Make no mistake about it. He'll take care of them. The penalty of sin, say the penalty of sin. It's removed by love and loyalty to God. Penalty of sin is removed by love and loyalty to God. This was a love week. We had such a great time, even on the prayer line. We were ministering love all week and loving on each other. But your day-to-day walk should be a walk of love. Valentine's Day should be a day every day for you as Christians. Amen? And so popular culture has its own way, and we participate in that. There's nothing wrong with that. But the reality is that love and loyalty will remove challenges that we may occur. So by our devotion to the eternal in God, these issues can be avoided. These bad hookups can be avoided. So when people, last verse, Proverbs 16:7, when people make good choices, say good choices, God is pleased. He even causes your enemies to live peacefully near you. That's a good word, isn't it? So you see, there's a lot of choice that you have in the matter. Look at your neighbor on the left and right. So you have a choice in this. You have a lot of power. Anybody out there, a control freak, men, don't look to the side. Just look straight at me. I'm helping you out. Anybody out there like to be in control? Amen? Well, I'm going to give you an opportunity to control something. You can control your mind, will, and emotions. You can control the decisions that you make. Amen? You can control letting go, let the past be the past. Amen? So that you're not tied up and tangled up in a bad hookup. Whether or not this is truly the year of divine connections for you, I'm talking to you. Look at your neighbor and say, she's talking to you. Look at the neighbor and others and say, God's talking to you. Whether this is a year of divine connections or bad hookups, whether it's a year of a new season for you or a new surrender, whether you experience the open doors and the open heavens that you've had decreed and declared over you, that's your decision. It's quiet in this place. But I want to talk with you, though. Today, we don't want you to be naive. We don't want you to recognize the power and strength that you have in Jesus Christ. He died so that you would have access to power and strength. We have some who are, they're praying 15 to 30 minutes a day, speaking in tongues, or some who are taking communion every day, so they have that communion with God and relationship that's available to anyone. They're reading the Psalms, they're pressing in. So I want you to understand that in order to experience this divine connection that we keep talking about, you have to make some new decisions. You have to war for the anointing that's already on your life. You have to be delivered from the old patterns of thinking in order that you can war for the harvest that he is releasing over you. There is a harvest that is being released over this house. There is. We see it. Those with spiritual eyes and physical eyes can see it. But don't you want to be a part? Don't you want to receive that harvest? Amen? You deserve it. He died so that you would have it. So the reality, though, is that you've got to make some choices. Some other decisions about that. You have to have your love and your loyalty directed towards him. It's great to love our loved ones. Amen? God blessed us with them. How many of you have wonderful loved ones? Okay, women, just look straight ahead right now. Just keep looking at me. So God has blessed you. Amen. And so you have great children, some neighbors. Some people don't have that experience, and they feel alone. Sometimes they feel quite alone, even if they're with people. So that's one of the reasons why we've come up. It's a wonderful opportunity. We have these phenomenal connection groups. So many people have joined in to these connection groups. Amen. So if you haven't, make sure that you're a part of that, because this is a way that you be able to move forward and to war for your harvest. Say war for your harvest. See, when you show love and loyalty to God, when you join in to the corporate ministry, then God is able to release new seasons of deliverance to you. Say new seasons. Amen. And so you might say, Pastor Andrea, how do I do this? How do I really, truly access these? So I need you to put up. We have this deliverance chart. Amen. And so you're going to be able to see this on our screens. Our media team is going to bring up these deliverance charts. You saw these if you came to our time of No More Hurts and the ministry that was going forth in No More Hurts. And we talked about it because a lot of times in the body of Christ, we're like, ooh, deliverance. That's spooky spiritual, Pastor Andrea. Only the Kravitz and Pastor does that. You know, ooh, do you know that he died so that you would have all of the power that Jesus had, that you would live in the fullness of sozo, that you would not only be saved, but you would be delivered, that you would be healed, that you would be prospered, that you would be preserved, that you would be made whole, amen, that you would be protected in the name of Jesus, amen? Do you know those are all the card-carrying benefits of salvation? It doesn't end with salvation. It actually begins with salvation. So today, what we're going to do as we move forth and look at the Word of God, and actually we're going to tell you some stories through illustrations of some stuff that happened in the Bible. I had someone who called me the other day, and they were like, well, prophetess, we need to hear a word from God. I was like, read Genesis through Revelation. Hear a word. Here's a word from God. You have access yourself. Amen? Amen. So we're going to give you access yourself because it's important for you to have the tools, because we're not going to be with you 24/7. We would love it. I'd love the house if we had access, the spirit of access, when people didn't want to go home. And we saw that. But basically, when we look at deliverance, we do, if you put that chart up, you will have an opportunity to see that 75% of the issues that we have, say issues, 75% of the issues that we have really are about having a renewed mind. Say renewed mind. Now, this isn't that your husband needs to have his mind renewed. Keep on, husbands, just look straight at me. This is not that your wife has to have her mind renewed. Come on, keep looking straight at me. It's not that the teenagers need to have themselves renewed. No, look straight at me. You need to be renewed. We need to be renewed. 75% of our issues already can be taken care of because of the work of the cross. 75% of your issues already are available because of blood that was shed. Amen. So 75% of your victory already already is moved forward for you. And really, it's 100% because he did a complete work on the cross. Let's give him praise and glory for that. I'm glad that Jesus understood his assignment. I'm glad that Jesus understood his anointing, his assignment, and he also understood the appointed hour. Say appointed hour. Sometimes we miss our divine connections because we're so busy looking at a bad hookup. You know, we're so stuck in our past. Let the past be the past. Come on, say that to your neighbors. Women, you can look at your husbands now. Let the past be the past. I went to the dictionary and I said, well, because let me just try to figure this out. You know, so when you look at this, that's a big chunk of change there. 75% is available. The Bible says, those of you who are Bible scholars, and I just love the Bible, and the Bible says, if you want to turn with me or look at it later, in the third epistle of John, chapter 1, verse 2, he says, beloved, and this is God speaking, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. And if you look at definition of soul, that's your mind, will, and emotion. He said, beloved, because he loves you. He absolutely loves you. He loves me. You are his beloved. You're the apple of his eye. I don't really care what your mother may have said about you. I don't really care what your daddy may have said about you. I don't really care what your first grade teacher may have spoken over you. That was a lie of the enemy if it was negative. You are the apple of his eye. You are his beloved. Amen? And so he said, beloved, I wish above all things. Think about this. If the Most High God, the God who we reverentially fear and respect, he says, I wish, this was God's wish list. Come on, his wish list for you is that you will prosper and be in health as your mind, will, and emotions are renewed. So you can pull that down. We're going to talk a little bit about, you've heard about a divine connection, and I'm sure you understand what that means, but what about a bad hookup? So I decided to look it up. I looked up, Googled the Urban Dictionary. I was like, hey, you know, I'm a professor, but hey, I use the Google Dictionary too. So I looked at the Urban Dictionary, and it said it's a form of intimacy, and it really talks about, it said it depends on the age group. Isn't that interesting? So if you are a modern youth person, a younger person, it says it means to make out, you know. And if you are between the ages of 20 and 35, it means to have intimate sexual intercourse. So you guys didn't know it was just the Bible sizzles. The Bible is hot. Forget looking at Netflix. You need to look at the word flicks. You know what I mean? It's the truth flicks. Forget, you know, this is some sizzling stuff now. Pastor's probably watching, so I'm going to get it later. But then it says if you're over 35, and it says, and that's an old person. If you're over 35, you're considered old. Maybe that's where Pastor Chad got that line and that determination for awakening. But if you're over 35, if you're an old person, it says, then it probably means you simply want to spend time with somebody. You just want to hang out with them, you know? And so that's the first version, first definition. Second definition of hookup, which is the verb, it says that it's to give or sell something to somebody. And they says often it's in reference to drugs. We have a very strong drug culture in our nation right now. And we have a strong drug culture here in the land that we're standing. We need that canceled right now in the name of Jesus. We decree and declare that minds are renewed. You can go ahead and praise him. That minds are renewed. That mind, will, and emotions are set free. We bind the wicked spirit of Belial that will speak to people and say that they are worthless and they are useless. And that the pain that's going on in their lives would need to have something where they're taking a drug to numb it. I'm here under the authority of Jesus Christ in the name of Jesus. And I decree and declare that the wicked spirit of Belial is bound, and we release the spirit of freedom, for who the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm not going to find my therapy in a bottle. Amen. I'm not even going to find it in a pill. Now, you know, I'm going to find my therapy, my healing, my restoration, my peace in Jesus. Amen. Amen. I gave that one to you for free. Now, the third definition, say three, third definition. I just love it when they work in threes. The third definition is a reference to a person who's capable of doing something, and that's a connection. Amazing. Hookup means connection, but you can have a bad hookup. And so I just want to encourage you today. We're going to talk about being able to tell the difference. It's called discernment. where you can tell the difference between a divine connection and a bad hookup. Amen? And so that's one of the things we're going to learn today. I'm a behavioral scientist, so you might want to take notes because I love formulas. I love data and I love formulas. So, you know, first we have to know that He is God. You know, He's God. Amen. That's the beginning point. And we reverentially respect Him because we know that He's all powerful and He's mighty. And as we ask Him for wisdom, He said what? He would give it to us liberally, right? So the formula is wisdom. And you can put an arrow, you know, put a line and an arrow. Wisdom leads to knowledge. Amen. Wisdom of God leads to knowledge, and knowledge leads to understanding. Amen. And understanding leads to revelation, where that means you really are getting it and getting it for yourself. We need to be able to avoid or self-deliver from these bad hookups. And you might say, Pastor Andrea, how do I really know the difference? I might be involved in something that I think is a divine connection, but it's really a bad hookup. Amen? And so there is a difference. And I want to say to you, sometimes bad hookups look like divine connection. Amen? Sometimes we can even have an open door. And I've had people come up and they say, well, this seems like a great job opportunity, but it's going to cause me to miss church indefinitely. Ooh, I'm going to make more money, though, for my family. Oh, but I got this opportunity, you know, in another county. I'm going to end up driving there, and all the extra money I'm making, I'm going to waste it up in gas. Or baby says, that's a bad hookup, team. Amen? And sometimes you can't see it because the angel of the light is fine. Biceps, triceps. Ooh, you know, she's fine. Lips, hips, fingertips. Ooh. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. But let me give you the definition. Let me stay on point there, okay? No pastors praying for me. Now, let's take it back, bring it back to the Christian perspective. Now, discernment. Say discernment. I want to be able to tell the difference, you know, between a divine hook, the bad hookup and the divine connection. It's the perception and the absence of judgment with a view that will help you obtain spiritual direction and understanding. I'm going to give that to you again. Discernment is a perception in the absence of judgment with a view to obtain spiritual direction and understanding. And do you know who's available every day, 24/7, to give you, help you with your discernment? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost. Now, I'm not here to legislate anything to anybody, but if you don't really know Him and His personhood, if you don't know the Holy Spirit, I want to just encourage you to get to know Him. And the sons of Issachar knew Him. 1 Chronicles 12:32. They knew Him because they were able to discern the times and the season. You may discern the time around something, but not discern the season. It may be the season for something, a new season, but it is not the time. It may not be the hour for you to move forward. You may not be ready to move forward. And so somebody can present to you something that it looks really good. It's shiny. It looks great, but it's not the time of the season. So we want to cry out to God. We want to have that anointing of the tribe of Issachar. Say tribe of Issachar. God, give me that anointing. I want to be able to discern. Now, the tribe of Issachar, this is 1232. There were 200 leaders in that tribe with their relatives. That was not an easy assignment. Now, all the men understood the times and the seasons. They knew the best course for Israel to take. And so we have men and women of God who are leading us, and they know the best time. They know the time and the season for us to move forward. Many of you are leaders in your household. You're the heads of your households. So as you go to the Holy Spirit and pray, because the Holy Spirit knows the time and the season for you. So when you begin to look at this discernment, what's happening right now in our earth and in spiritually and physically, this is a time of healing in the land. It's a time of discernment. There isn't any hope that's available to what's happening in the world. There's no protection that's happening in the world. Your 501k is a plummeting, okay? You know, you can't have your God in your retirement fund. Is there anybody? You can't hold your God in your positions, in your business. Even your God can't even be your ministry because your ministry isn't your God. We minister for God, amen? So we have to be able to look at this present darkness, because when we turned on the TV and we saw those precious children murdered in Florida, it's the present darkness that we saw. Amen? We saw principalities of evil operating. And so, again, through Jesus Christ, through the shed blood, you have hope. Look at your neighbor on the left and the right. Say, you have hope. You have hope. You have healing. Go ahead, decree. You have healing. You have deliverance. You have protection. You have preservation. You have prosperity. You even have wholeness because of Jesus. So that because of the work of Calvary. Now, we have some present darkness, so I'm going to be real with you about that. And I want to talk with you. The societal pressures that we're under today, they threaten us. They threaten our money. They threaten our ministries. They threaten our environments. We have a hookup culture that is threatening our youth and our families, all ages and stages, people hooking up. Some of the statistics are just staggering. We looked at the deaths of the children in Florida. These are our children. If one child is murdered, all the children are at risk. That's not okay for us. And so again, we have to move in terms of the church away from the, as long as it's okay for me and my four and no more. That's not okay. We're a community. We're the body of Christ. That's why we need to be in these connection groups. The only place where no more is okay is no more hurts. Amen. And so I want to give you some data and statistics because I want you to be able to understand how this formula of wisdom leading to knowledge, leading to understanding, leads to revelation. Because you need to know. Inquiring minds need to know. You live in the state of New York and you pay an unbelievable tax rate. How many people? I got some people out there. I mean, you need to know what's going on. And so we want to instruct the wise today, teach you so you'll have that knowledge, that understanding, and that discernment. If we look at the city of Elmira, just as an example, we're going to look at several places, but just the data and the statistics. Do you know that 63% of the children in the Elmira City School District, they live under 185% of the poverty level? 185%. But then what that does is it makes everybody eligible for lunch. They're able to get lunch and meals. Thank God for that. Amen. Your taxes help pay for that. Do you know, in terms of the spirit of and the anointing of Issachar and the headship over this household, Matthew 25 is using God's spirit to break the back of poverty off of this land. We're the Matthew 25 people. I speak supernatural blessings over you. And those who help, many of you doing it, come on and give God praise and glory. No, it isn't just a group of rowdy kids out of control getting on the bus every week. And sometimes I know for those who are doing that ministry, and we thank God for Josiah Skinkle and others who are involved, and Pastor Palco, many others of you are involved. Julie's involved. But you are seeding into their destiny and their future. You may think, oh, we're just feeding them food. No, we prayed over that food, and that food is breaking the back of the enemy of poverty off of their lives. Please, under my voice, discern the time and the season. Local news agencies are reporting that there has been an increase of heroin and meth use and opiates. And some of you are like, yeah, boy, Elmira is a problem. Oh, God, Elmira is horrible. No, the increase has been in Horseheads, New York. Discern the times and the season. Also, what we've seen is an increase through the data in arrests for prostitution, in crimes where we're using guns. And I'm not here to legislate whether you have a right to have a gun or not. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Teachers are called in classrooms to teach, not to have guns where they've got to protect the children. We need to go after the root cause of that issue, because that is not a divine connection. That's a bad hookup when you're a teacher and called as an educator and you also got to carry a weapon. Come on, saints. Chemung County, this is good news for Chemung County. Chemung County actually fell out of the top 10 in the 56 counties in New York in regard to the use of opiates, because they were number one and also number one in the nation. And it wasn't for illegal opiate use. It was for prescription pills. Amen. So, but guess who's number one on that list? Who's moved up? Guess. Bradford County, Pennsylvania. The enemy is so subliminal in his attack against our people. Bradford County, Pennsylvania has been rated as the highest county involving opiate use. And Bradford County borders on the southern tip of Chemung County. See, I'm here to decree and declare to you, to give you some understanding and some discernment around what's going on in terms of times and the season. See, Sin is not contained in a zip code. Sin cannot be contained. Trauma doesn't only happen in one neighborhood. You know, it doesn't only happen in a part of town, amen? Because it's a spirit that is operating. You know, trauma and sin and difficulty and issues don't only impact just one race of people. It's not even a part of a certain county or a certain country. But a bad hookup can find you anywhere. A bad hookup can infiltrate your life anywhere. So I want you to look at this. This is a study that's been brought up. And if you have time, check it out. It's called the ACE study, Adverse Childhood Experiences, because these are just evidence of some of what we're seeing. There are demonic strongholds that have been released in our land. The Centers for Disease Control and Kaiser Permanente, they actually started this study in 1994, before some of you were even born. They surveyed more than 7,000 people, and what they looked at was adverse childhood experiences and how they actually impact people's lives as they go through stages and ages. And what they found is sometimes child abuse or other kinds of neglect or trauma, they can live with people through their whole lives. That's not the will and purpose of God. Now, the ACE study is just the evidence. But see, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So see, we have evidence, though, that this is the trauma that's carrying, but we have evidence of a living God. We have evidence of the blood of Jesus. We have evidence that he heals, that he restores, that he delivers, that he prospers you. And so what they look at is adverse childhood experiences, alcoholism, abuse, smoking, illicit drug use, obesity, issues of quality of life, disruptive neurodevelopment. See, a lot of times people want to make an excuse about things that they're engaged in, amen, bad hookup types of scenarios, but they can impact you today, but also even follow you as you go forward in your lives, amen? It's not an excuse, it's just an explanation. You know, as a man thinketh, the social emotional end and the cognitive impairment that comes, as a man thinketh, so is he. That's what it says in the Bible. So even though we may be ministering to you and praying for you and putting oil on you, you have to change the way you think. Say, I need to change my thinking. I cancel the assignment of stinking thinking over the body of Christ. Our minds need to be renewed. And some people are like, well, do I need to take a pill? Do I need to see a psychologist? Whatever works for you. But you have got to move forward. This is a time in the season for this development. So also, are there risky behaviors that are out there? Disease and disability and other social problems. And do you know, if you move through this, put the slide back up, please. If you move through these different levels of the ACE study, at the very top is early death. God did not plan that you would die an early death. I cancel every assignment of premature death off your life in the name of Jesus. He decrees it in his word that you won't die, but you will live. You will live to declare the works and glory of the Lord. Look at your neighbor on the left and right. So you're going to live. You're going to live. You will not die. And so when we go forward today, we're going to have some illustrations because I want you to be able to practice your discernment muscles. Okay, I want you to stretch your muscles out. Okay, now I only have fluff. My children, my family say, they call me Aga. They're like, Aga, you're fluffy. You don't have muscles, but you're fluffy. But for whether you have muscles or fluff, we're going to have just awesome time as SWAT comes forth. And they're going to show you Genesis to Revelation. They're going to show you some examples. And you decide, is it a divine connection or is this a bad hookup? Ooh, that's a bad hairdo. I do know that. That's a bad hairdo. So, ooh, look at that. Who is that? Samson, Judges 16. You may want to read that later. Judges 16. You know this story, many of you, of Samson and Delilah. Amazing. Look at it. Look at that hairdo. Now, you know, and maybe you don't know the story, so I'm going to quickly paraphrase it for you. Samson, he was a Nazarite warrior. I mean, look at that sword. Look at him. I mean, oh, my God. And he was spoken over in the womb. An angel of the Lord came and decreed and declared that he was a Nazarite. Biblical scholars, are you with me? Are you following me? Many of you were spoken over the womb, that you were called to ministry, that you were called to be evangelists, that you were called to be used mightily. And so God sent that messenger, maybe a prophet, to speak over you. But there have been some adverse life situations, some circumstances that have slowed you down, but they're not going to keep you from the destiny that God has for your life. And so we thank God, because he was spoken to early in from the womb that he was a Nazarite warrior. He was so strong. Do you know they said that Samson would take, he would grab with his hands, he would grab the tops of mountains, and he would smush them together and create another one. I mean, he was very, very powerful. But Samson had an issue. Say issue. Samson had an issue. It began with disobedience, where he married out of his tribe. He married out of his tribe, and then, even after he married, he had an issue with prostitutes. Say prostitute. Keep looking straight, whoever you are. You may have an issue. He had an issue in Delilah. Oh, my gosh. She was really, really, she was hot, okay? Lips, hips, fingertips. She was the one. And the people, there were people, though, who wanted to kill Samson because he was mightily called as a warrior for God. And so he had enemies. Say enemies. I pray every day for my enemies and my foes. Amen. I want to be able to discern who my enemies are. But see, your foes, you don't really know. Only the Holy Spirit knows your foes. But the Holy Spirit is a rear guard. He has your back. So again, he had enemies and foes. They wanted to kill him. So Samson had a weakness. Say he had a weakness. He had an issue with women. Now, this isn't just about men, because women can have issues, too, with men. Amen? There's a spirit of Delilah that's operating here. But Delilah, she was really beautiful. And you know what? It's important for you to know. She was there trying to seduce him. I'm in the Bible. This is the Bible. You know, you could say, hey, this is the Bible. This is Judges 16. So she was trying to seduce him, and she was talking to him about his strength and popping up his ego and telling him how wonderful he was and how great he prayed and how powerful he was in ministry. And she just had this spirit where she was trying to get him to tell, because you know what the assignment was, the demonic assignment against him, the bad hookup, was that they wanted to know what was his strength. See, they want to know what that calling, that anointing is on your life. So the enemy may send rejection, may send a spirit of rejection, may send someone to say something so mean and cruel that just gets you off your game. But you've got to know that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And when somebody speaks over you, they didn't have the first word that spoke you into life, and they're not going to have the last word to speak you into death. Amen? So when you look at this, these Philistine tyrants, they got a hold of her. They whispered in their ear and they said, look, if you can deliver us, Samson, if you can work and get him so we can get to know his strength, then we can kill him. See, if the enemy knows your strength, he can kill you. Amen? Amen. So what began to happen was they had these different things. They basically told her, look, we're going to give you some money. We're going to give you, it was actually pennies on a dime, but they said, we're going to give you some shekels, some silver, and then you can sell out Samson. So what began to happen, she kept working through him. She put her womanly wiles on him. Amen. She began to manipulate and control him. And he struggled with it. And she would ask him, tell me your secret. Tell me the secret of your strength. Tell me how you're able to accomplish what you are. Tell me, Samson, how do you have those muscles and how do you lose them? Where do you get your strength from and your hair? Oh, my God. So she just began to boost up his ego. Sometimes bad hookups will boost up our ego. Amen. We're not called even to have entourages in ministry. Amen? I'm talking to the pastors and the minister. You know, that we need to look to God. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Amen? So again, what began to happen, it ended up that he kept teasing her. He would tell her something that wasn't true. He was trying to throw her off the scent of the whole thing. And so she got really upset. And so she said, well, wait a minute. He told her, if you hook me up with these cords, and this is how it works. And so she said to him each time, the Philistines are on you, Samson. The Philistines are coming for you. She'd even have him go to sleep. Amen. Sometimes in your slumber is when the enemy comes to attack you. Amen. And so that's an important thing to watch and be able to discern. And so he went through several iterations with her. And so finally she said, look, you're just playing games with me. If you really love me, Samson, if you really, really love me, and I'm going to go in and out, if you love me, you'll sleep with me. If you love me, if you really, really love me, you'll lie for me. If you really, really love me, you'll tell the police that you don't know anything about the drug deal that just went down. I'm in it. I'm in it now. I'm in it. This is not the time to shrink back, intercessors. If you really, really love me, you know, you'll turn your head on that deal. You'll go ahead and sign that contract, and you know it's not a legal binding contract. Yeah, if you really, really love me. So she said to him, you're playing games with me. Tell me how this really works with you, the secret of your strength. So he got tired of her. He finally told her the truth. He told her what the real deal was. He said, a razor has never touched my head. I've been a Nazarite from conception. I was called from the womb. I have an anointing over my life. And so he said, a razor has never touched your head. So when she wooed him off to sleep, she wooed him off to sleep with her womanly wiles. Now, the Philistines, they were like, oh my God, what's the deal? So they ended up, she cut his hair. She cut his strength. His strength was gone. His anointing was gone. And then what they ended up doing, they actually came, they attacked him and plucked out his eyes. They cast out his vision. People without vision perish. When you've lost your vision of the purpose and destiny in your life, maybe it came not at somebody cutting your hair, but they cut your hope. Amen. Maybe somebody spoke something over you that just really got in and was depressing and just rejecting for you. So what ended up happening was they grabbed him. The Philistines, they were like, oh, we got him now. So he couldn't see. He couldn't see. So they imprisoned him. And then they said, well, it's not enough that we've cut his hair and we now understand the essence of his strength. They said, let's make a public spectacle of him. Sometimes you have situations and circumstances where someone's made a public spectacle of you. It wasn't enough that they rejected you. It wasn't enough that they hurt your child. It wasn't enough that they hurt your feelings, but they make a public spectacle of you. And so he couldn't even see. He couldn't see anymore. And so he's grappling. He's trying to figure out what he can do now. He was shackled in irons. They put him in prison. Some of you are imprisoned by the things that happened in your childhood. You're imprisoned by those things that happened even as you were moving through young adulthood. But God is here today to say you can be delivered for the blood of Jesus. He died so that you would be set free. So they came. They wanted to bring him, make a public spectacle of him and say, oh, yeah, okay, look at Samson, the one who, the Nazarite warrior. Look at Samson now. You know, look at him. Look at him. Look at Samson now. Look at him. Look at him now. He's trying to show his stuff. But what ended up happening was Samson actually, they were trying to get him out in the courtyard, so they brought him out. And he told the guy that brought him out, he said, look, get me close to the pillars. Sit me in position. So even though I have lost my strength, even though I sold my power and my anointing, put me in position so that I can finish this assignment. Amen? And so Samson ended up being put in position, and he got his strength back just a little bit. His hair actually grew a little bit. And then he was able to, he actually pushed the pillows out. He pushed the situation out. And not only, unfortunately, he died, but everybody there, all of those who were attacking him died as well. So I want you to know, in the name of Jesus, under the blood and the authority of Jesus, if you're experiencing, because women can have that spirit of Delilah, but so can men. Some of you are tied up in relationships with men that are abusive relationships. Some of you have, your money is funny. You can't disconnect from it. God is calling you to a divine connection right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Samson and Delilah. Let's look at our next story. Hey, give them God praise and glory for them. David and Jonathan. How many of you know the story of David and Jonathan? Now, this is an awesome one because this shows you a powerful hookup. Look at it later. 1 Samuel 19, 1 through 3. 1 Samuel 24. 1 Samuel 20, 42. And I'm just going to summarize it. David, powerful man of God. Powerful man of God. He had an anointing and a calling on his life. Look at your neighbor on the left and the right and say, so do you. You have a calling on your life. Now, he was called to be the next king, but he wasn't in a lineage in that regard. Jonathan, his armor bearer, his buddy, was in a lineage. And so what ended up happening, David was a phenomenal warrior. But Jonathan, even though Jonathan was Saul's son and he was supposed to get the next heir apparent, he was supposed to get it, Jonathan recognized the calling on David's life. There are people who recognize the calling on your life. You may be in relationship with them, you may not, but God has them there for you. They will be your armor bearers. They will bear arms for you. So what ended up happening is Jonathan said to David, even though I'm the heir apparent, even though I'm the one that's supposed to become the king, I can see the call on your life. And I'm going to do everything that I can through this divine connection. And even though you go into a physical battle, I'm really going to be with you. So he actually put his own armor on David. He gave him his robe. He gave him his sword. He gave him his shield. He gave him his own armor so that he could fight the battle. See, as we're called in ministry, we have senior pastors who are out in the front. There are Davids, and they're fighting in ministry. They're going forth. But then you also have the Jonathans who are called. We as ministers and pastors are called to be back there, because as they're fighting the enemy in front, somebody has to be covering their back. Now, the Holy Spirit is there, but they've got to be able to move forward. See, some of you are struggling because there should be a Jonathan that's there with you. So pray and ask the Holy Spirit to send your Jonathan. Amen? And so we just thank you. Thank you for that. Amen. Final illustration. You know I was going to give you one about prayer. The one about prayer is one of my favorites. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. So Jesus is in the garden. Where are you guys? In the Garden of Gethsemane. And you know the story. He's about to face the cross. He's supposed to face the final thing. So he basically, he calls up his friends, his folks. Okay, he calls them. He's like, look, can y'all come? Can you all come and pray with me? Dude, I need you to pray. I need you to pray just 1 hour. Can you look at your neighbor and say 1 hour? I need you on the prayer line, 6:15 to 6:30. Can you pray? Intercessors, I need you twice a month on the 5 a.m. prayer. He's calling, amen? One time, just to pray. But you know what happened? They fell asleep. I don't know whatever came them. I don't know if it was just the anointing was so strong, but they fell asleep. This happened 3 times. Jesus knew what he was facing, and he went on to move with it. Okay, but they fell asleep. His BFFs, his boys, his girls, his hanging partners, they fell asleep. Jesus goes to him. He tries to wake them up. He does this 3 times. He tries to get them awakened because they're supposed to have his back. They're supposed to be praying with him and standing with him. But he can't. It's not working, is it, Jesus? Okay. But Jesus is sure of his assignment. He understands he has a divine connection. He understands that he has to go to the cross. So I want to encourage you that, one, there should be people who can pray for you. There should be people who can, and they are his tabernacle intercessors. I want you to raise your hand. And if we want to share with you, this is the number you need to call, 712-775-7100 for your, and then here's access code, 124064. This is where people will pray. Every day there are people who are praying for you. There are people who are praying for you 24/7. And so again, no matter what you're facing, you will have that type of divine connection that you need. Thank you so much, Jesus. He had to face the cross by himself, but he had God there with him. Okay, here we are. We're at the end. Holy Spirit is ministering to you. And so I want to have the intercessors. We have some intercessors who are going to be ministering, our pastors and our leaders, if you'll come to the front, because they're going to be available. Some of you have faced these types of scenarios where people have betrayed you or not had your back, or, you know, you needed to have that kind of divine connection and it wasn't happening for you. But these are people, intercessors and pastors and ministers who are here. A minister, Mindy, is here. If you'll raise your hand, she's there to minister salvation to you. Some of you don't have this divine connection that we talked about, so I want to encourage you to come forward to receive salvation. Others of you have had difficulties because you've had situations or circumstances where you have felt alone. So I just want to encourage you that you're not alone. We have connection groups all over the county, all over, and I believe that in time we'll have them all over the nation. I believe we'll have them all over the world, because God has purposed that you would have divine connections and not bad hookups in your life. And so we want to encourage you. Come forward now for prayer. Some of you are coming forward for salvation. Anybody in the house not saved, please, if you'll come forward right now. Minister Mindy, will you? Amen. Heaven is rejoicing. Heaven is rejoicing. Amen. Heaven is rejoicing. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Anybody else under the sound of my voice? Because you deserve this divine connection. Jesus died so you would have it. There's some of you, the Holy Spirit's been ministering to you. Because not only are you experiencing bad hookups, maybe you are a bad hookup. So come forward today. Come forward to the ministers and they'll pray with you. They'll stand in agreement with you so you will not have to move forward and continue to be victimized by these issues that have occurred, no matter what the time of your life was. He's calling you to be set free. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Stand to your feet as we close. If you're here with us for the first time, and we want to invite you over to the reception that's over on my left, but I want to speak a blessing over you that you will move forward, that the Holy Spirit will continue to minister to you so you would know what's going on with these bad hookups. Because it's a pattern in some of your lives and it's time for it to be broken. Amen. Father, we thank you for just this opportunity that we have, Lord, to hear your truth. Lord, we saw some illustrations and we saw some things that hopefully will continue to minister to us as we go throughout the day and throughout the week. Father, we thank you for all that you're doing, because who the Son sets free is free indeed. But come on forward if you need prayer right now. This is the time for you to come forward. Bless your people, God. Bless them in the city. Bless them in the field. Bless them when you come and when they go. And Lord, throughout the rest of this week, let them see that they can discern whether something is a divine connection or just a bad hookup. Give them the power, the authority, the freedom that you have available to them through the blood of your Son, Jesus. And bless them as they go through the week, as they go through this season, as they go through this year with divine connections, God, that you have purposed for each and every one of them. And we thank you for that, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come forward in prayer.